How did Christian communities in the past respond to godless cultures? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Embracing Godly Character, The Christian Community's Response to a Godless Culture. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Embracing Godly Character at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Embracing Godly Character, 1-800-325-3040.
Cyrus, at least, was prophesied to be a servant of God to do certain things, but there is no biblical warrant for making that parallel with any modern-day person, including President Trump.
You could easily argue for an atheist. An atheist tries to argue against the Creator because an atheist doesn't like the idea that there's a final judgment, that they're accountable to doing what's right. They didn't deny the idea of a Creator because they don't like the idea of moral rules, which they may have violated.
It would be really weird, wouldn't it, if just in 1500 you figured out a central truth? That would indicate that you've missed something. That's Joseph Smith kind of talk.
Canadian pipers love Issues Etc.
So this is how the account kind of comes to a conclusion, at least the part that we call the flood. The flood, or Noah's flood, it's often called. Verse 21 of Genesis chapter 7. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swam on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He, that is God, blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Not exactly the stuff of, well, a Sunday school lesson, but routinely we teach our children this story in Sunday school. Now, we may, sad to say, often teach them a sanitized plush toy version of the story of Noah and the flood, but it is the most horrific story of God's judgment of mankind, save the cross. How do we teach this to our kids rightly? Not the plush toy version, but rightly, without scaring the living daylights out of them. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on the flood of Noah, which is in Genesis chapters 6 through 9. Then Pastor Ted Geese joins us to review the movie Paul, Apostle of Christ. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Noah and the Flood in Genesis chapter 6, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
And good day to you, Todd.
So how do we teach this story? It is a horrific story of God's judgment that is surpassed only by God's judgment of the sin of mankind on Good Friday. How do we teach this without terrifying Sunday school children?
I appreciate using analogies, some of which aren't in the Bible, to help a child come to an understanding, maybe even prior to the story. What I would say to the children in the Sunday school class, let's say you live in a neighborhood and you get a brand new dog as a pet, and you just love that dog, and one day he gets out and he's running around the neighborhood, and the kids in the neighborhood are picking up stones and they're throwing them at the dog until they hit the dog, and boy, there's real problems with the dog. He dies. And then these same children, you make a snowman during the winter, and they come and they tear it down. And then you have a sister, and what they do, they don't like her very much, and so they beat her up. How would you feel towards these people? And they would say, well, we don't like them very much. And then I would say, you know, what if the whole world were like that? What if in God's sight, everyone was corrupt and the earth was filled with violence? And they would say, well, maybe God needs to do something about that. And I will then tell them, I just quoted Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. The earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. You see, if you just begin with the flood destroying all of the living creatures on the earth that breathe, kids are going to be thinking about their best friends and maybe their relatives, their family. So you have to move their thinking to another level where they themselves are not happy with what's going on around them. And then you say, this is what had happened on the earth. There were these kinds of violence. God himself says they were very corrupt, and there were only a few people whom God regarded with favor in the earth at that time.
Okay, so we're dealing with a time very shortly, at least in relative terms, very shortly after the creation of the world. Already the sin of man has multiplied to such a point that God, it says here, I am sorry that I made them, verse 7 of chapter 6. What is God saying there?
Yes, God is often referred to in a way that can help human beings understand him, because we do not understand the full will of God in all his secret places and how he thinks. So a lot of times it's put down to a human level. There is no doubt when God saw Adam and Eve fall into sin, he was really disappointed, or he was sorry. Now, in their case, he provided the promise of a Savior. In this particular situation, though, it says that the wickedness of men was so bad that every intention of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. So it's not just a bad deed or a bad word, but the thoughts. And it appeared that there was no way that they would repent of their sins and come back to the Lord. So what we have here is a situation where God obviously is disappointed in what he had hoped would have happened. And that disappointment came about, therefore, in his anger against these people. Just like if somebody in your neighborhood was burning down garages or something, you would want to tell the police about it, get these people arrested, get them out of the neighborhood so houses and garages are safe. And that's what God is doing here with this great flood that's coming to take away individuals who have nothing on their minds but deceit and violence.
This is unbelief, right? This is not simply people being bad but still have faith in the God who made the promise to Adam and Eve. These people have turned from God.
Yes, because if the intention of every one of your thoughts is evil, then you do not have the Holy Spirit. In contrast to Noah and his family that found favor in God's sight, not because they were such good people, Noah sins, but because they still had faith in the true God. And so therefore, they themselves were rescued from the plunge into the water that the rest of the world would experience.
So why is Noah regarded differently by God, Noah and his family?
Noah is regarded differently because the Holy Spirit created faith in him. I would put Abraham in the same category as Noah. We know Abraham to be a sinner. He sometimes said he was the brother of Sarah rather than the wife in order that he would be kept safe because Sarah was so beautiful. And yet when God told him, you're at that point, 65-year-old Sarah is going to have a baby, way past childbearing age, it says Abraham believed and he was accounted righteous in God's sight. So sinful Abraham was declared righteous because he believed a promise of God. If God had come to anybody else and told them to begin to build an ark in the middle of the desert, nobody would have done that. But Noah did, and God knew he would, because he had a faith in the true God, believing the promises of the true God, that it appears that almost the entire earth of other human beings did not have.
Also, even before the flood, God, he says, I will establish my covenant with you. He just mentions it briefly there in verse 18 of chapter 6, not saying exactly what it's going to be at this point. But what does that mean in the context? You know, Noah's going to be the only one who survives this thing along with his family. Why is the covenant so important that God would mention it here?
Excellent point, Todd. That, read it carefully, I will establish my covenant with you. This is God's covenant. And it didn't start with Noah. It actually started with Adam and Eve. The word covenant simply means this is an agreement on the basis of promises. And he's not saying, you know, I will establish a covenant that you will make promises to. No, I will establish my covenant. So as he said to Adam and Eve, through the seed of Eve would come a Savior. Guess what? Noah is going to continue that line. And therefore, when God says, I will establish my covenant with you, it's like saying, I will continue the covenant that I had made with Adam and Eve that went through Seth and now is coming to you. Remember, at this time, Noah was 500 years old. And then even after the flood, he lived another 450 years. So he lived 950 years. And it was through Noah that the promise of the covenant to Adam and Eve came true.
One more question before we take a break here, Tom. We've talked about this before with respect to the creation story earlier in the book of Genesis, but this is one of those stories that the old Bible critics like to say is, well, it's an exaggeration. There may have been something like this, some kind of devastating flood, but it certainly was not global, and it certainly did not kill off everyone in the world except Noah and his family and those animals that God commanded him to save with him on the ark. You've heard this argument before, haven't you?
Yes. When I was at the seminary, one of the profs was making the point that this idea of an ark, which, by the way, is only used twice in the Bible. The only other time is what we had Moses put in when Pharaoh's daughter found him, that he was placed in a vessel, and that's also the same Hebrew word, ark. And some people will say that those arks never really appeared until much later in the history, way past the time of Noah. But recent archaeological discoveries have found that what would be referred to as an ark was found even close to the time of Noah. So that's just not absolutely correct. Then they've got arguments there couldn't be enough water that would fall from the sky to drown the entire world. I heard that one also. Well, the fact of the matter is, it says not only the water from the air, but the springs from below. We're in St. Louis right now, and they just spoke about flood warnings, and it was pretty dry when they said it, but now we're going to have 6 days of rain. And I just got back from a little trip I had made, and almost all the streets have water in them, and a lot of it is coming up through the sewers. So God would have no problem drowning and putting everything in the world underwater.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching the Sunday school lesson on Noah and the flood in Genesis chapters 6 through 9. More on that on the other side of the break. You can find out more about Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. When we come back, the flood comes, and Noah and his family, for a long time, are the only living things on earth. We'll be right back.
Everybody, it was Jesus. It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
What does Easter have to do with mission work? Find out in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine, as you learn to see Christian missions through the lens of Easter and see Easter anew through the eyes of LCMS missionaries around the world. Celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection together with all the saints throughout time and to the very ends of the earth. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Risen Savior Lutheran Church, Basser, Kansas. Located just right outside the northwest corner of the Metro Kansas City area, we have a growing congregation of people who come from over 13 different communities to see what God is doing here, who desire to only believe, teach, confess, and practice as the church always has. Risen Savior, Basser, Kansas. Check out our website, risensaviorlcms.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Noah and the Flood, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. So this flood actually lasts, I think, from beginning to end, the better part of a year. Am I right?
Yes, and that's in the Bible. It begins, according to Genesis 7, verse 11, in the 600th year, the second month, day 17, and ends, according to Genesis 8, 13 and 14, in the 601st year, month 2, day 27. So it lasts about 1 year and 10 days.
And I want you to talk about the gradual nature in which, as the waters are abating, as it says, first the tops of the mountains are visible, and then in the first verses or so of chapter 8, there is kind of Noah testing the waters, so to speak, to see whether it's safe to come out of the ark. How does that occur?
Yes. Actually, this is a good question to ask people. How many birds did Noah send out of the ark to see whether or not there was sufficient dryness to get out of the ark? Well, the first, he sent a raven. A lot of people think it was a dove. And the raven did not return. And that's because ravens can eat rotting flesh, and you can only imagine how much would have been in the water. Then the second bird he sent was a dove, and it returned to him in the ark, because the Bible says in verse 9 of chapter 8, there was no place that she could put down her foot. And then 7 days later, he sent the dove out again, and she did return, and in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. And therefore, Noah was realizing the waters were subsiding from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days, and he sent forth the dove again. That's the third time for the dove, and she did not return to him. And it is at that point that God says to Noah in verse 15, go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you, and bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh. And so Noah went out and with his family, and then he built an altar to the Lord, and he took some of the clean animal. Remember, there was more than two of them, up to seven, and some of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet, pleasing aroma, and he then made a promise to Noah that never again would he curse mankind with a flood of water.
So now we come to that covenant that God had promised he would make with Noah before the flood had come. Now at long last, after the judgment, comes this, the fulfillment of this promise. What's the nature of the covenant that God makes with Noah?
It's a covenant not only with Noah, but according to verse 9 of chapter 9, this is establish a covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth. And what is the covenant? Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And then God sets a rainbow in the clouds. Now, scholars disagree as to whether the rainbow was initially there or whether God specially created it after the flood. Either way, the purpose was, and this is important, God says, when the rainbow is in the clouds, verse 10, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature. Now, the question is, God needs a rainbow to remind him of what he promised? No. The word remember is very similar to the remember that we have in the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. We're not having the Lord's Supper to remind our minds what Jesus went through. We're having the Lord's Supper because the word remember there means there is a definite benefit that we receive in remembering. For example, if you remember your wife's birthday, it means she's going to receive a present. When we remember the Lord's Supper, we receive a gift from God of the assurance of our salvation. And one part of the what was very interesting of the covenant, every moving thing that now lives shall be food for you. You see, up to this point, up to the flood, they were vegetarians. But now they can now eat every living thing, cows, etc. But then, I give you everything, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Why is that? Because then, if you eat the blood of the animal, you are, in a sense, joining with the animal in its existence. And that is so important to remember that in the Lord's Supper, God says that we are to receive not just his body, but also his blood, because it is an assurance that Christ is now within us. And Paul talks about that at length in Romans 7, about the new man in us still fighting against the old man of sin, but the new man, according to chapter 8 of Romans, wins because there is no longer no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And that eating of his body and blood is the assurance that we are in Christ.
So this continuation of the covenant is, we often forget this one. We know the covenant with Adam and Eve, which is very simple, about the seed crushing the serpent's head. And then we skip to Abraham, where we have the probably the more famous covenant. We often forget this one in between. This, we could call it the, just like the Abrahamic covenant, maybe the Noahic covenant. What is there to find in this covenant, okay, the promise of Christ?
verse 8 says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. We lost that image. That God is now still talking about man made in the image. That had occurred in Noah and his family, because they were reckoned as righteous. So also, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we receive not our own righteousness that we have earned by being good, but we have received Christ's righteousness. His righteous obedience while he was here on earth is now transferred over to us in that glorious exchange when he takes our sins and gives us his righteousness. And that is why on the last day of judgment, we will be received into heaven by God the Father, because from his point of view, we are wearing the righteous robe of Christ's righteousness, him becoming our substitute on the cross and the first fruits of those who rise from the dead, that all who believe in him shall also experience.
Finally, with about 30 seconds here, the law and gospel for the Sunday school children and the story of God's judgment and saving of Noah and his family.
Yes, the Growing in Christ does a great job in kind of doing a little irony here. It says, God used water in a flood to drown those sinful people who were in violence. But then God also in baptism uses water to drown my sins, granting me eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the most important point to get across to the Sunday school children.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You heard him mention Growing in Christ. That's a great Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. You can find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. There's a link to it there where you can browse before you buy, or you can get a free sample of the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for a free sample of Growing in Christ, a Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
When we come back, we're going to be looking into the movie Paul, Apostle of Christ. Pastor Ted Geese will be our guest. How does it stack up against, well, say, The Passion of the Christ, a film that was critically acclaimed as well as being, well, more or less accurate to the biblical material? How does it stack up in terms of a film, a story, and its accuracy to the Bible? We'll answer those questions with Pastor Ted Geese after this.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.